Spread Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Spread Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 64th Berlin International Film Festival, joined by Gary Magnus, one of the filmmakers of Cathedrals of Culture. Thank you very much for being with us today.
It's a great project, it's a very interesting project. How did you get, you know, in touch with everyone?
It was, for me it started in about 2 years ago, I think. They had seen a movie I had made. It was like my third feature, which was a very kind of experimental documentary. And Wim had seen it in Berlin. There was a festival in Berlin, and it's a festival. It's a really interesting festival. They couple every movie with like a godfather or a godmother, as they say. So there's somebody who is a kind of, you know, older director that presents the films. It's like 14 films. And so he saw that. And so he'd seen that, and then they got in touch with me and asked me, you know, what I thought of the project, if it was something that was interesting to me. And I'm actually an architect by training, so it was a good coincidence to kind of go back to architecture. And then we spent a while kind of figuring out what would be the kind of, you know, the beauty, I mean, the main character of the film, you know. So we kind of went through a few possibilities, and at the end, I really kind of had an eye on Bobo, because it was a place that I had been very close to for many years. I had been there many times when I was a teenager, and so that's how it ended up. But there was a long process of trying to find a building. When I came in, there was already a few buildings in place. The prison was already there. And then there was also the Library of St. Petersburg was already there, Philharmonie, but the other three were not.
Was it vendors then that got the project started?
The story of the project is, the history of the project is, he, after he did Pina, he did a movie for the Rolex Foundation in Lausanne, which is the Rolex Learning Center, which is really a beautiful project. And that played in Venice, but at the Venice Biennale. And I think Arte saw it and they really liked it, because at the time there was a really big wish to, I think there was a big kind of hope that TV would go 3D. And so Arte came onto the project very much, and I think it was kind of, they initiated it, but that I'm not sure, we should double check. And then it's how it kind of started, you know, that's how he came onto the idea, to the idea of a collection. The way it went was, there was, you know, there's a panorama of buildings, and I mean, it was clear to me that I had a relationship to, a closer relationship to visual arts, and I thought of that it would be nice. I initially wanted to do something about an airport, which is kind of the kind of buildings that I like most, you know, but it was really complicated to shoot in an airport, and also the stretch, you know, there's so much you can stretch the concept of culture, right? I mean, there's a limit there. And so, I'm saying this because as I started to flirt with Beaubourg, I started to flirt it from this kind of angle, as looking at it from as a travel platform, you know, as a place that you could go and travel places. You could travel to a show in the theater, you could travel to a visual arts show. So the story, I kind of got the story from that approach, you know. For me, it was very much to look at it as a place of departure, but also to look at it as a place with different functions. You know, what's interesting about the project, it's not like an opera or a museum, you know, it's a place that the originality of this place is that when it was thought, it's a polyvalent kind of situation. You know, you have a library, you have shows, and you have, you know, art shows, and you have theater, and you have performance spaces. And so the story also had to deal with that, you know. So it was trying to find out the approach. Jules Verne was also a big inspiration, because there's this thing of the machine and a certain nostalgia for the future that his work has. Because Bobo is 37 years old, it's kind of aging, and it's this feeling, it's a very analog building. And so that was something that was very much in my mind. But ultimately, the premise of the project was to treat the building as if it were a character. So the other thing that came to my mind was that it should be structured like a diary, you know? It should be structured like a journal. And the issue of speaking on first-person narration was a bit tricky in the beginning, because, it, you know, it can be strange. But I think it took the challenge, and I think it really worked. And I had the luck to work with a guy from England. He's the director of the London Design Museum, or the Design Museum of London. I don't know exactly what's the exact... And he's an architect scholar. He was the critic of the Guardian, of the Guardian, or of the observer, I think, for a long time on architecture. And so it was really great to work with him and develop that voice and develop that character and you know, kind of understand how also to make this irrelevant beauty, a movie about architecture, which was what I really sort of wanted to do at the end. So it was a really good collaboration between the GOP and, you know, it's very much how do you capture the space in 3G, and Dayan, who wrote the text with me.
Was it your idea to shape your part of your film like a diary?
It was my decision. I mean, my idea was that we cover the life of the building during 24 hours, so the film begins at 6 a.m. and it ends around 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. And what I wanted to do was, I mean, really what the triggering for the structure of the film was very much as if I had found, you know, a lost diary somewhere, you know, with the entries for every day, and then I had picked up one page and then, you know, did it from that page. But it was very much something that I thought would be important to do in the case of Bobo, because it's such a public space and there's millions, I think it's the second most visited place in Paris, you know, or in France for that matter. So it was really important to me to have a kind of intimate perspective on the building and to be kind of through the veins and tribes, you know, to treat it really like a body, but an open body that during the day it's receiving lots of visitors, you know, and then when it closes down it has a more intimate moment. So that's what I thought the diary would be interesting, and the question of doing a 24-hour approach to it, just because it's such a public, you know, so many people go into that place that I thought it would be good to also see when it was empty, when it was waking up, and it was, you know, going to sleep, and when it was being prepared to be open. So yeah, no, it wasn't, there was really no, I mean, the only, I think, rule or something that we had to do was that the building should have a voice, but even that, you know, when the Robert Redford piece, it's not there, which I think is great, because I mean, really what I think they were interested in is that we could experiment and that we could bring our own calligraphy, you know, to the way we saw these places and these buildings, and to play around with this technology, which is a technology that was a bit like, I don't know the exact word in English, you know, when something is born already dead. Because I think the idea here is also that it's a new technology. I mean, it's like, you know, a new palette, you know, you have 2G, you have 3G, you have digital, you have, you know, you have celluloid and so on. But I think that what happened with 3G, there was this big 3G boom like 3 or 4 years ago, maybe more, at the time of Avatar. And then it kind of faded away. Precisely because I think it was, I mean, if we look at the 3G projects outside of Hollywood, I mean, what do you have? You have Pina, you have the film by Herzog, et voila. And so there's, you know, I think it's also a dynamic, I mean, it's a technology that has changed a lot in the last 5 or 6 years, but when I say stillborn is that there's this feeling like, you know, people started to look at it as a gadget. And I think the interesting thing for me here, I mean, I started with the project, I remember that a friend of mine said, do you believe in 3G? I said, no, and I don't believe in God, you know? It's like, I really don't believe in 3G. But I just was open to it when I was doing the shooting, you know, when I was thinking of the film. And it's just a new technology, and I don't think you need to be reverent to it. For example, in Gravity, what I think it's really great is that you don't really see it 3G all the time. There's moments that you think it's 2G. You know, the technology is not ahead of the story or ahead of the concept of the film. And for me, it was really a pleasure to do it. I mean, it's really to document space and to capture space. It's really, really great, and it's not that heavy. I mean, my other feeling was like, oh my God, this is going to be really heavy, like shooting Technicolor, you know, these really big machines. And it was really not heavy, and I'm very lucky that I actually worked with this technology for the first time on a documentary. Because I think if it were fiction, I would be super worried about, you know, the frame and how to construct the mise-en-scène and all that. And here, it was very light and very free. And I mean, it's a quite experimental project. When you look at it, there's a lot of different things going on there. And everyone is doing something which is very close to what they normally know, to our kind of way of looking at the world. And the other thing, too, that was interesting at the end, I mean, I'm kind of curious to understand what else could I do on 3G? You know, is there anything? Because I think it should not be a decision that comes after, but I think it should be something that you need to do on 3D. Otherwise, there's no point, you know? Yeah. Like, so, for example, I ask myself the question, at the same time that it is great to portray space, can it be good to portray intimacy, for example, and relationship between characters and things like that? So it was very exciting not only to do the film, but to kind of imagine what else, what did I learn with it, and what else I could do with this technology or not, but to not, to kind of break a certain prejudice that I had against 3D.
Thank you very much, Kenny Minos. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.